Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Puckin Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
Gentlemen, here we are for another episode. Lots to talk about. I mean, lots of stuff has happened in the last week and a half or so in sports. Specifically, I think we should get right into...
The Mariners lose!
I was wondering if you'd go there. It's funny. I work with an older lady who... she's a Mariners fan. And somebody had asked her if she's cheering for the Blue Jays now that the Mariners are out of the...
Oh, God.
Her reaction to that was... I mean, I can't say it on television,
but
her action was beep.
Yeah. And I mean, we work in an office, but she's basically like, baseball's over now, so it doesn't matter. I think it's exciting that the Toronto Blue Jays are off to the World Series. This is something we haven't been able to say since 1993. So what, 32 years ago?
It was a wee baby.
Yeah. Not quite. I was 10 years old, 11 years old. I was 11 years old.
Yeah. I was at the age where I don't remember it. Yeah. At least I don't remember people talking about it, being hyped about it, that sort of thing. I was 6.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you never saw, you don't remember seeing the big home run by Joe Carter.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit it.
Now, let me ask you a question because you were there for this.
Yeah.
Comparing the Joe Carter home run, which, of course, it's going to be bigger because they won the World Series because of it. Comparing that, though, to the George Springer home run that basically won them the game against the Mariners, Game 7, what are we looking at in terms of excitement?
I think it's a tale of two series in the fact that Joe Carter's was in Game 6.
Yeah.
There was the worry that if the Phillies had won the game, that they were taking the momentum to win possibly Game 7. So
yeah, true.
Joe getting that home run was huge for them to win the World Series because, hey, you know, they won the World Series.
You might call it integral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look at George Springer's, it was a Game 7. The series had been back and forth as it is already, and it was a very, very tight series defensively. It was a very, very tight series in terms of the pitching and stuff, and, you know, Bieber didn't have the greatest start to Game 7 or even his previous game even.
Yeah.
And yet, that home run was a huge momentum change considering the fact that Jays were hardly getting any back-to-back hits throughout the entire game. They finally got a walk, they got a hit, and then, George delivered.
It obviously woke them up because it got them into the lead, but it woke the fans up too because it really felt like they didn't have much to cheer for up until that point,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, we recorded last week's episode a little bit earlier than we normally do, and we were talking about, like, the Mariners were up to nothing when we recorded, and they were just heading back to Seattle. So they were in a world of hurt the last time that we were talking about this,
We were talking about it. We were talking about, like, the Jays were out of it.
And here they did win. They come back and win 4-5.
It's just funny how things can change, right? In sports in general, not just baseball, but sports in general, you count somebody out after two games. How many times have we seen that in all sports, let alone baseball? But I think back to, 2011 when Vancouver was up 2-0 on Boston in the Stanley Cup Final. You know, it does happen. Teams can lose it out. And I think a lot of times, too, teams will go in thinking that we've got it in the bag, right? And then they go back to another city or whatever, and there you go, right? So
we can think that way about the Leafs this past playoffs where they're up 2-0 in Florida.
Yep, very true.
And then Florida showed up.
So, that's sort of been a talking point when it comes to this Blue Jays win, comparing it obviously to the Maple Leafs, which is ridiculous. We're talking about two different sports. However, the talking point has been that, there is a Toronto team that can get past that hurdle. Is the curse broken, so to speak? And I don't see it as a curse personally. Like, from the outside looking in, I'll be honest with you guys, I don't see it as a curse. It's just dumb luck. It's the way hockey goes. It's the way sports goes. Are you the type of people that believe in that kind of thing? Do you see this as, like, now we've gotten over that hurdle and maybe the Leafs can do the same? Is it something that they can learn from? What do you think?
No, we're not even going to go there, Joe.
We're talking about 58 years of the Leafs trying to get over the hurdles.
So. Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, I mean, you look at the Blue Jays, though, 32 years. 32 years.
26 years left.
It's a long-ass time. Yeah.
Let's also consider the fact of the two different games, though,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're... Hold on, let me be careful with this. If this isn't 2013 against the Boston Bruins and you're the Leafs, if you're up 3-1, your chances are in the last stage of a hockey game, you're done. You're not coming back from that unless some miracle happens.
Exactly.
In baseball, it happened in like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Walk, hit my pitch, boom, home run. See you later. Done.
Very true.
You know what I mean? So that's it's
and like hockey obviously is one of those sports where it's like, you know, with baseball you've got your offense then your defense, your offense and then your defense. But with hockey it like it can change so quickly because you're on defense, boom, you're on offense. So and it's uncontrollable, you know, and
there's so many players involved at any given time in the game. Whereas baseball you've got a pitcher, you got a batter.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right? Like we talked about months ago, one floated pitch over the center of the plate that was supposed to be inside. See you later. Game over.
So let me ask you guys this then. Being baseball fans, being Blue Jay fans in general, like, do you see this as a situation where the Mariners might have overlooked the Blue Jays a little bit in this series?
I don't think
especially,
so.
Well, the reason I ask is because they went into they won their first two games 2-0 in Toronto. Going back home... And then they lose two in a row to Toronto. So what do you think kind of plays into that, if not them overlooking the Blue Jays or looking past the Blue Jays, so to speak? Maybe looking down on them, thinking they're the superior team, when really it's just a matter of scoring a few runs, right?
If they have that mindset, obviously it bit them in the butt, right? Yeah. I would think and hope that they wouldn't feel that way. Who knows? You can't speculate.
Yeah.
But going into that series, the Blue Jays were the better team.
That's true.
Right?
Yep.
Mariners were a little beat up from their series with Detroit.
But the Blue Jays had more injuries, correct?
No, I think they were really...
Was it the other way around?
Oh, I mean, I guess so, yeah. Like I guess, realistically.
And, yeah.
And so on, yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't think there's really anybody from the Mariners that wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, I guess there's that. But the Jays kind of handled the Yankees, for the most part, in their series, right? And not even just the result of the series, but the scores in the games.
Yeah.
Like, the Jays were kind of all over them, right? Whereas the Mariners and Detroit had a pretty hard-fought series back and forth. The final game went to 15 innings.
15 innings, yeah.
So, I mean...
Which was exciting for fans.
That was, again, one of those things where we alluded to last week when we mentioned that the hype was huge heading into that first game in Toronto, and then they lose. They're down 2-0 within 24 hours. After the Mariners had just come off, you know... The Jays had, 5 days off or four days off to prepare? And, you know, so, no, it wasn't the best from a fan perspective. But in the end, I do believe the better team came out on top. And they had to battle.
They did.
If you look at game three, even it started off with, you know, the Mariners getting a 2-run home run to start
off the
game. You're like, this is not happening. This is not happening. But give it to Vladdy had obviously a great series, as we know. But give it to a guy like Andrés Giménez, who's really not known for his power and not known to be the greatest hitter. Having your lower in the lineup players show up and show up big. Obviously, it drove everyone else to be like, all right, we can do this. And they did.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that being said, let's look into the future now with the Blue Jays going into the World Series. They're about to play the reigning World Series champions.
They've won like 9 in a row or something, haven't they?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they handled their series.
World Series. They seem to win every year.
Yeah, it feels like it. I mean, they were in the World Series previous, but I think they lost, correct?
Last year they won.
But the one before that, did they not lose that one?
I
don't think they were on 2 in a row.
Dodgers and Rangers? I can't remember who. It was the Rangers that won it.
Yeah, that's right.
But I can't remember if it was the Dodgers and Rangers, if it was someone else.
Somebody like that. Anyway, regardless, we're going into this series right now against the Dodgers. We know the Blue Jays are up against it. That being said, there is sort of some sort of, what's the word, like some positive to this is that, you know, the Jays, having played more recently, may be able to take advantage of that, I think, going into this series, you know, having less days off, like they're still kind of hyped from winning. Maybe that plays a part into it. Like you were saying with the Jays having a longer break against the Mariners, you know, maybe they can take those first two games. But the big thing that's going to really be key for them is defense in that matter, right?
The one thing that I don't like, and it's going to be the same for both teams, but it is what it is, like as far east as you can go in the MLB, pretty much. Well, not quite. Not if you count like New York, I guess.
Yeah.
And then as far west as you can go in the National League.
So travel. Yeah.
So travel's going to be, you know, that's a 5 to 6 hour flight each way.
But, you know, they're not doing like what the NHL does, where they're going back and forth, back and forth. They at least are going there, playing a few games, staying for a few days, and then going. So I feel like it's not going to be as stressful for the teams when it comes to travel, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know what baseball is like when you compare it to, say, other sports like hockey or even football, where they just play one game, you know.
Well, I mean, and those are way more physical sports too. That's right. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not giving grace to the ball players. They've got it pretty good, right? They're luxury planes and, you know, everything like that. By the way,
hundreds of millions of dollars.
I feel a little ignorant to the Dodgers, by the way. So they won last year, but the last time they were even in the World Series before that was 2020.
Oh, okay. So they weren't
and
in the
they
year
won
before.
Against yeah, the so Tampa Bay Rays, and then they were, and then 2018 they at 2017 and 2018 they were in the World Series but lost.
Wow.
So they've been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of the last 8 World Series.
Wow.
9 World Series. So they've been in it anyway.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was Arizona Diamondbacks were the team that
that's right. Yeah,
that the Rangers beat last year.
That's right.
So looking at the season so far, you know, looking at the Blue Jays specifically so far, let's say hypothetically, and I don't want to bring negativity into the world, but let's say hypothetically they don't get the major prize and they don't win the World Series this year. How do you guys look at the season for them? I mean, that's got to be a success just for the fact that they made the World Series.
Oh yeah, like even the fact that they made the playoffs, they weren't expected to be a playoff team.
Well, I remember what you were saying literally like before the season began, and how you were disappointed in the moves that they didn't make.
Yeah.
And here we are in the World Series, kind of like, you know, who's laughing now, right?
And the major pickup that the Jays got prior to the deadline, I would say, in signing Santander, which was kind of a, oh, I guess we'll sign him. We missed out on a couple others. And he didn't even end up playing hardly.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really a factor at all.
He wasn't a positive or negative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
except
cool.
They just gave him a boatload of money for nothing.
Could have given somebody who did mean something, but that's okay. That's okay.
Well, and, you know, give it to Vladdy. He's a heart and soul for the team. Like, I kind of harped him on our last podcast because they had lost the two games and he hadn't had a single hit like he had previously in the Yankees series, you know. And, you know, I looked right into the camera and I'm like, come on, you need to show up. And he did.
I think he
like
maybe he watches the podcast.
Yeah. Check it out, Laddie. But yeah, like obviously, you know, he was the ALDS MVP. He's the ALCS MVP. If he gets the World Series, like, is he not probably one of the greatest Blue Jays ever at this point? If he gets all three of those,
I mean, it might be early, but he's definitely making a name for himself as potential for that for sure.
One really cool sort of side piece to everything that I've come to appreciate only because I. You know, I live on the West Coast. I've grown up a Vancouver fan, period, no matter what sport I follow. But Vancouver, of course, having the Vancouver Canadiens baseball team, which is a minor league affiliate of the Blue Jays, they have a huge influence on this team right now when you consider their manager, John Schneider, was the manager of the Vancouver Canadiens, which is really cool. I found that out literally... When did I find that? I think I was watching a thing where... When what's the pitcher's name that came from Vancouver that's going to start? Yusavage.
Yeah.
Yusavage. When he joined the team, the Blue Jays, there's this like behind the scenes video clip of him meeting Schneider, and they're like he knows him from the Vancouver Canadiens and stuff. So it's kind of cool that there's that Vancouver connection with the Blue Jays too.
Yeah.
So.
Talk about Yusavage too. It was Yusavage or Yusavage.
I think it's Yusavage.
Yeah.
Jumping five ranks to get into the
World Series.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, to get into the lineup, but to be the World Series Game 1 starter.
Yeah, he's going
to
start for the Jays for Game 1.
Sorry, we are watching the Vancouver Canucks play right now, and they just tied the game up, and I'm very excited. We're going to get into that a little bit later, after we talk about the Blue Jays. But yes, it's definitely interesting to see like the hurdles he's come. Okay. He's overcome to get where he's at, and he's a talented pitcher.
He was a decently high draft pick. He wasn't the highest, but he was decently high. But to climb that quickly and to be like prominent in the playoffs as like he's got a 2-1 record. He's got 22 strikeouts in the starts that he's had. Like that's
and he's 22 years old.
And he's 22. Yeah. That number is very prominent.
Yes.
Well, he's gonna get about another 22 strikeouts in the World Series. I think
it's pretty impressive.
In one game. But yeah, no, it's definitely impressive to see. And, you know, they've got a lot of weapons on their team.
Yeah.
The one thing I think, and you guys will probably agree with me on this, is that they need their offense to go, especially in the World Series, especially against the Dodgers. They need their defense to go too, but they need to get their bats going.
They're like four starting pitchers. Tyler Glasnow, Blake Snell, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the guy that, you know, the Dodgers took.
Say that 10 times fast.
Yeah, yeah. And Shohei Ohtani. You know, like that's pretty top world-class pitching there.
Yeah, you can't really think to yourself as a Blue Jay, oh, let's just get through this game. We'll get him next game.
Exactly.
Good luck, man.
Well, and it's the World Series. You only have four games to win, right?
Yeah.
They need four wins to win the World Series, and it's not going to be an easy feat. No. So
now, having said that, when you look at the Jays, I would say if Yasavage can pitch how he's been pitching, he's going to stand just as good a chance to win game one as whoever. You think it's going to be Snell starting for? Did they announce yet?
They haven't announced yet.
I think it's going to be Snell. I think it probably will be. Or Glasnow, whichever. Is Glasnow left-handed?
I think he's a lefty, yeah.
I think he's a lefty. So I guess that's really going to depend because the Jays have been starting a lot more lefties lately. Jimenez might be a switch hitter.
I know Santander was.
Yeah. Jimenez might be. I'm not 100% sure. Actually, maybe not. He's left-handed.
Not even eligible for the World Series, Santander.
No, that's right. Exactly, yeah. Barger's left-handed. Lucas is left-handed. All these guys that have been starting players for them, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it makes you wonder, Bo Bichette has apparently announced that he's good to go.
Yeah.
And they included him on the roster this entire time in hopes. So, who comes out? IKF? Ernie Clement will play second?
Yeah, I say IKF probably comes out of the lineup. They're talking about actually the possibility of...
Oh, no, Clement will play third.
They're talking about the possibility of Springer being taken off a DH, put into the outfield, and Bo Bichette going DH.
Right. I mean, that would make sense, at least for a game or two, maybe till he gets back into a bit of game shape off the field.
So this is the part of the game that I don't understand yet, and you guys should be able to answer this for me, but a designated hitter, in the case of Bo Bichette being designated hitter, is that all he's going to do that game? So he doesn't play defense at all?
The designated hitter, the purpose of it is to eliminate your pitcher having to bat.
Right.
So in the American League...
To relieve their arm or whatever.
That's right. Yeah. In the American League, designated hitter has been a rule and a position for decades.
Right.
Yeah. In the National League, they always had their pitchers hitting up until I think it was last year.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So anytime the Jays, who are part of the American League, anytime they would play in a National League ballpark, their pitcher would have to hit.
Oh, okay. So okay.
It's only within the last couple of seasons that the NL has also adopted the DH rule.
That's funny that they would play separate rules like that.
Yeah, just tradition. Yeah. Baseball has been around for so many years, they don't like change.
Hmm.
You know? So that is all that person's going to do. I don't know if I like that necessarily because Springer's knees.
Mm.
Yeah.
A bit wonky right now with that hit by pitch. Like you could tell the last two games that he played, like every time he'd swing in the bat or run, he was wincing.
Even when he was celebrating that home run, he did jump up a couple of times. However, afterwards, it felt to me like he was kind of like...
Oh, I bet. The adrenaline caught him, and then I'm like, oh, crap, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've seen you know, even in hockey or football, actually, I've seen football specifically where a guy's celebrating a touchdown, and he injures himself jumping up and down.
Yep, towards his ACL or something.
Yeah, yeah. And it's crazy. And then they're out for, you know, months.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yep.
You know, sometimes their game isn't the same for a year or two, right?
So, I mean... If that's the case, I mean, I'm sure Clement will play third and Jimenez will probably play second.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, they've got options, so there is that. It's really going to boil down to the Dodgers pitching and whether or not the Jays can take advantage of mistakes.
Yes.
So to speak. Yes. Because their offense has been clicking. They've been, like, it's there. It's like... It's almost like in the last couple of games, they woke a sleeping dragon. And like you see, like Vladdy took over. IKF was hitting. Jimenez has been hitting all these guys. Barger hit a couple of big home runs. Springer, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, if these guys can take advantage of some misconceptions by the Dodgers pitching, if there is any.
Yeah.
But then again, now you've got a guy, an X factor like Shohei Ohtani, who does both.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to hope that, like, one of the stories with the Blue Jays this year, especially with when they had their winning streaks and so on, was that they would wear down the starting pitchers. And you have to hope that they're going to be able to wear down the Dodgers pitchers because, you know, the Dodgers have a world-class, obviously, bullpen too. But your relievers are relievers for the fact that usually they can't carry it for a long term of a game compared to what a starting pitcher does. So you're more likely to possibly catch a reliever off guard compared to, you know, starting pitcher and such, right? So, you know, again, look at Bastardo. He was one of the Mariners' best relievers, yet
he gave up the biggest home run
of the series
for the Jays of that series. Yeah,
so it's, you know, you're kind of hoping to get to the bullpen in the game. So
what an unfortunate name, by the way, Bastardo.
Bastardo.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, you have to hope that they can wear down these pitchers. Like, it's, again, Glasso, Snell, Ohtani, Yamamoto, even Sasaki, who they lost out on. These are all, again, really, really good pitchers. But hopefully the Jays can do what they've been doing all playoffs, and maybe it'll pay off.
I mean, from the outside looking in, like my perspective specifically, it feels like when the Jays are aggressive at bat, they get it done. And then when they sit back and they wait for the perfect pitch, that's where they kind of make those mistakes, right? And with a team like the Dodgers, who are an aggressive team in general, you should learn from what they're doing and, you know, give them a taste of their own medicine. And that's what it feels like to me.
And not give up three home runs to Ohtani in the game.
Well, that'll be key, I think. That'll be key.
I don't know what we were doing. I think Tiff might have been down at the hot tub when we were in Whistler.
Right.
And I was just had the Dodgers game on a little bit, and I saw Ohtani hit the third home run. And I just went, oh, my God, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
One thing that I did not realize, and it may be a factor, it may not, it could have, like, a Max Scherzer feel to it, but they've kept Clayton Kershaw in the lineup for the World Series too.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I mean, he's 37, right? And he's getting on, and this is his last season. But the head coach, Dave Roberts, was like, I'd love to get him in there at some point.
Yeah.
But I am still going to pitch the guys that are pitching the best.
Of course.
So Kershaw's been kind of on a bit of a downward, but he's still a complete X factor in my opinion. Well, he could be
one of the greatest pitchers ever to pitch the game, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And he's a lefty too. That curveball is... Go
something about the left hand. Something about the left-handed baseball. I don't know what it is, gentlemen. Let's talk a little bit about hockey. I say this with a little bit of a less energy tone, but I'm currently watching the Vancouver Canucks play the Nashville Predators. It is 1-1 in the second period, which is surprising when you consider the stinker that the Canucks laid last game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, I'm not going to create excuses for the Canucks, but, like, the thing about it is they're just in bandages right now. Like, everybody is hurt, it feels like. Every important player is hurt right now. Almost every important player. But, like, yeah, they're playing with a lot of guys hurt. I mean, you know, when you look at the game against Washington, which was a 9:30 a.m. start Pacific time on last Saturday.
Was it in Washington at least?
It was in Washington, yeah. If it was in Vancouver, that'd be terrible.
That would be the worst.
But yeah, it really felt like they were bound for that type of thing to happen because they were on it was only a two-game win streak, but they'd won two really, really, like, big games. The game against Dallas, I don't know if you remember, the last episode we were talking about their upcoming road trip. It's a five-game road trip. This is actually the last game of that road trip. The game against Dallas was going to be a very, very challenging team to beat. I mean, they did almost come back in the game. Vancouver ended up winning, I think, 5-4. Yeah, 5-4 or 4-3, one of the two. No, it was 5-4. Yeah, Vancouver had a 4-0 lead at one point. And then Dallas started coming back right in the third period. So they're one of those teams that's like, they were expected to be good, and they're obviously good enough to be able to come back from a deficit like that. But the fact that Vancouver even had a deficit like that is goes to show they do have the offensive power, but for some reason they can't seem to find their game in certain games, right? And that the big talking point is Elias Pettersson right now, and you know, when is he going to be able to turn it on and stuff like that. And well, then of course, you know, he came into that next game and scored the first goal within 59 seconds.
You got to worry about the Canucks center depth right now. You got guys Hedl out, obviously, with getting another concussion. I think your centers right now are, what, Pettersson, Atu Ratu, Max Sasson, and Nils Amon?
Nils Amon, yeah.
Amon, yeah. How do you pronounce it?
They pronounce it Oman, and Oman. I think that's how you would pronounce it in, like, Swedish or whatever. But, like, yeah.
The JT Miller deal made sense, considering what was going on in the room, but you kind of almost have to have a bit of seller's regret in regards to, I guess,
Hedl. Believe it or not, sense. When it comes down to it, I regret getting rid of Bo Horvat more than I do JT Miller.
I would say the same thing, actually.
Bo Horvat's one of the best centermen in the league. I would love to have him on my team right now. And I was sad to see him go in the first place because he was the captain of the team. And I thought he was a good captain, too. But, you know, it's tough. You can regret every decision your team makes, and most of us do, to a degree. But, you know, they have to find a solution when it comes down to it. They're currently talking about Matt Wood, who, of course, is a Nanaimo boy, nice. playing his first year in the NHL right now. So good for him. Shout out to Matt Wood if you're watching.
If you're watching,
I'm sorry.
I don't think he's watching right now. I
mean, right now he's not watching, but then again, you're not watching right now either. We're currently recording. But yeah, and then I'm a boy playing in the NHL. It's pretty exciting stuff. I watched him play the BCHL. He played for Victoria in the BCHL.
Yep.
Nice.
So yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff.
Played in the World Juniors a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Which was awesome to see. It's great when you see people who are like from your hometown playing, you know, playing in an important game and stuff like that. So, but yeah, you know, going back to the Canucks, I think that, you know, the biggest struggle right now for them is finding the depth and finding the right piece. And I know Alvin has been in interviews saying, you know, we're looking, but there's not a lot out there. Teams don't want to give up those good players that they need, right? Because everybody right now in October is like, we're going to make the playoffs, even the teams that are not going to make the playoffs, but they believe they are, right? And those teams are playing well. I mean, Chicago's playing well right now. San Jose's playing well right now.
The Mammoth.
Anaheim is playing well.
San Jose's not playing well.
Well, okay, yeah, San Jose, not an exception, but they're never going to give up their big pieces, right? They'll never give up Toffoli or whatever, right? But
Yeah, be interesting to see once we kind of start getting a little deeper into the season, how things are to roll out with our teams, you know, with other Canadian teams. Like the Flames are not necessarily having the start that I expected of them, considering how they started last year.
Yeah,
they are one of the worst teams in the league this year so far to start. But again, that could change. We've said the same thing about the Oilers and the Blues, you know, in our last podcast.
That's
so
true.
That could change. But you know, this is kind of a year too. If you do happen to tank, McKenna is considered a world class player.
A decent prize, yeah.
So, if you've got your first round pick,
yeah.
True.
So they seem to win games. Fly around like candy these days, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just looking at some of these standings, though, I know it's early. We're only like 7-8 games in. Some teams have still only played 6 games.
Yeah, I think this is Vancouver's 8th game right now.
This is Vancouver's 8th game.
Yeah.
It's through both divisions, or sorry, both conferences, there's some surprises.
Yeah.
Like there is. You know, the Stars, they're 3-3.
Yeah, that is surprising. That is very surprising.
That's still not even that terrible of a record you really consider it. Yeah. I mean, the Canucks are 4-3 and you're talking about them being terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They have a winning record right now and we're sitting here like they're the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they're injury plagued right now. So
it's not about sometimes winning games. Like for me, it used to be. It's not that way for me anymore necessarily. It's the overall picture and how they're playing, because how they're playing and how you see them playing and how they approach the game and how they compete in the game and that sort of thing, that's going to translate to the standings at some
100%.
Point.
Yeah. And you know, if you look at it like, you know, building up wins in early in the season, and let's say you drop off January, right? you've got all these wins built up that you're banking on that to keep you in the playoff picture at that point. However, in a situation like Calgary, right, where you've got so many losses in a row now, you've got a lot of catch up to play when it comes to finally figuring out your structure and whatever to start winning, right? That's the challenge. And I think that's where somebody like Vancouver doesn't want to be at. We want to keep winning so that we can bank on those and make the playoffs at the end of the year.
Now, with the Flames, one thing I could at least say for them is they still battle in their games. Like, the only one that's been really kind of, I should say two actually, have been kind of blowouts are the Canucks game and the Golden Knights. Every other game's been one or two goals difference. Like, it's been
close. I mean, they won their first game against, what was it?
The Oilers.
The Oilers, yeah. Which was, I mean, it was surprising to see that considering where everybody expected the Oilers to be, right? But, and I think, like, I still stand by my statement that the Oilers are not as good as they look on paper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe they make a move or two. We'll see, but... You know, right now it doesn't look like they're as deep as they think they are.
You have to wonder if, like, the whole McDavid thing dragging a little bit into the preseason and just even almost the start of the regular season, whether that did have an effect on the
I think it had an effect on McDavid himself.
Yeah.
I mean,
just scored his first goal
I was going to say, just scored his first goal. Yeah, like, we're how many games in for them?
They've played seven.
Seven. So seven games in, finally gets a goal. Like, that's crazy to me. Now, we all know McDavid, he can go off and score 58 goals. Yeah. But you know, it's just crazy that it took this long to get it going. So
it just shows you, though, like, people go in streaks, people go in waves. These guys are good, but they're, you know, they're humans.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we'll talk about the Leafs there, Brando. What are we looking at for those guys?
I don't know. I back to my point from 2 minutes ago. It's when you're seeing the things they're doing on the ice that baffle you a little bit, that's what makes you worry.
Yeah.
Like
is
I
it,
said...
Is it, let me ask you this, though. Is it a consistent thing you're seeing?
Yeah, I would say.
Okay,
I would say it's consistently inconsistent.
Right.
They're not doing the same things every game. So it's... I'm not going to use it as an excuse with injuries as well because they've only recently had a couple. But I mean, again, don't get me wrong. Their record is 3-3-1. It's not above 500 record, but I mean, it's not the worst. They could be Calgary. Sorry. but it's the little things like I talked about, you know, the lack of physicality. Yeah, I still, now, I think they played three games the last time we recorded. They've now played seven. I think that I've only watched maybe one more game since we recorded. Just life has been crazy busy, and I just haven't had the opportunity to watch like I normally would. I normally don't miss a game. I don't miss a minute, really. But guys like Joshua not hitting like I thought he would. Nick Waugh, kind of the same thing. Steven Lorenz has been injured, and he's one of their guys that's one of their physical players.
Right.
Max Domi, who I don't know where his style of play is. I don't know what type of player he is because towards the end of last year, he was a pest.
Yeah.
He was a pain in the ass, and I loved it. That's exactly how you need to play.
Yeah.
He's one of the best skaters on that team, so use it. You're low to the ground. You're built like he's 5'10", way taller
than
me.
He's like a Brad Marchand, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's thick.
Yeah.
And he works hard, and he does work hard. But that's a player that he confuses me. Like, you know you can play that style. Berube wants you to play that style. The fans love when you play that style. You play better when you play that style. Like, why is it he, like, seems to disappear?
Yeah.
You know? William Nylander. Maybe he heard our podcast too, because he's picked up his play a little bit, I would say. Not necessarily translating to help the team overall, but he looks better. Chris Tanev is now hurt. Scott Laughton is still hurt. He hasn't played a game this year. Morgan Riley was not at practice today, and he's looked pretty good.
Yeah.
There was another player out today. They completely put the lines in a blender.
Yep.
I know that's cliche, but, like, I looked at the lines of practice this morning, and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
This, like, none of these guys have played with each other before. They took Nyes off the Matthews line.
Yep.
Like, it's completely changed around. Even the D pairs have changed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and Stolarz, he's been scrutinized not him scrutinized, but he scrutinized
his teammates
in the media a little bit. Famously. And then he came out after the last game where they looked terrible, and he's like, "Oh, we did a lot of good things." Did someone say, "Hey, Stoli, maybe let's keep that out of the media"? Like, I don't know, but it's like, well, did you watch the same game I did, man?
He's like, "Yeah, that Nylander, man, what a player."
Exactly.
He's screaming out to his team to actually give a, you can bleep this out, give a shit, you know. Yeah. The Seattle game, like, it got tied, went to overtime, stuff like that. But, you know, for a team that you're expecting to have a lot more hurt, I guess, you know, Mitch Marner, you know, a lot of what was going on was blamed with him. But you're expecting the heavy team, the hard hitting, the heart to be there. And you didn't see it in Seattle, and you really didn't see it in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. There's other podcasts, you know, I won't name any, that were screaming about the same thing, that the star players aren't showing up. Matthews looks like a shell of himself right now. He seems like he's almost lost without Mitch Marner. They had Domi on his line the last game, and Domi was, like I said, first line. Next game against Buffalo tomorrow, he's on the fourth line. You mm-hmm. know, like, it's obviously something's got to get going for the top line to get going. And even Craig Berube's like, I'm getting tired of this. Like, they need to get going.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully with the line of change that was made, which they put McMahon and Nylander to play with Matthews, at least in practice. I don't know whether it's going to be the game or not. Mm-hmm. Maybe it gets them going. I don't know. Like, Matthews is, again, world-class, one of the best players in the world, in my opinion. I'm sure a lot of people's opinions. He should be able to carry a line on his own. Whatever is going on, you know, figure it quick, because we don't have a first-round pick. So if you guys suck this year, we're going to keep sucking a little bit if you have the same mentality every year. Like, start to change that identity and click the way that Berube and Treliving has set up the team at that point.
Yeah. Like, you know, the question is always asked, like, how much of this is coaching? How much of this is the players? I think it's the players. I think it's very obvious it's the players.
Yes.
Because the coach is getting frustrated. And when the coach is getting frustrated, it's because they're not executing the way he wants to execute.
Yep.
And so I think that's the part that most fans miss out on. They're sitting here going like, oh, the coach is not getting them to do the right stuff. But I think really it's the players. And I mean, even Vancouver, when they were struggling at the beginning of the year, the argument was that it's all the coaching, their structure doesn't work. It's not the structure not working. It's the fact that players aren't executing the structure. And I think that's the part that tends to get missed when it comes to hockey in general. But, let me ask you guys a couple questions about the NHL specifically before we move on to our last subject of the episode. But, the NHL, we were talking earlier a little bit about teams that have surprised us a little bit, you know, Dallas being one of them. What about the East? Let's talk about, like, Florida, for example. What's their record right now?
4-4.
Okay, so they're an even record. The reason why I'm even bringing them up in the first place is because it feels to me like they should be better than they are.
Well, if it's any consolation, when we recorded last week, they were 3-0.
Yeah.
So they've gone 1-4 since.
So something's going on. I wonder if it's injury issues, if it's maybe a little bit of a hangover. I don't know.
That's two of their best players, two of their role leading leaders, the whole works are up.
And that's kind of where I'm going with it. Like, we are seeing injuries all over the place. Yeah. I was just talking about Vancouver being plagued with injuries right now. What do you suppose that is from? Is it like training? Is it off-season training? These guys aren't doing the right things in training off-season, or what? Like, because they're all, I'm sure most of them are freak injuries, but, like, you know, I look at Nils Höglander, I'm not going to see him till December, right? What's going on?
Maybe the earth's on the wrong tilt or something, and it's throwing things off.
You could chalk it up to many things, right?
Maybe luck of the draw.
The league is constantly changing. The players have such personalities these days.
Yeah.
It's open. It's in the media. It's everybody knows what's going on. Everybody can see it. We were talking before the game about, now more than ever, we're seeing players take personal leaves for, you know, deaths in the family or illnesses or mental health or substance abuse, whatever the case may be. You never saw that before. Like, I don't know when that line changed or if you can even draw a line. Probably not. It's maybe a gradual line.
Yeah.
But it's like within the last year or so, and this is not just the NHL. This is across sports.
Yeah.
Is it because of the the culture we're in now where there's more of a focus on mental health.
Yeah.
And you know, if someone dies in your family, you can't just attend the funeral, come back in a couple of days.
You can't rub some dirt in it. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's not just suck it up anymore.
That's
it's,
right.
It's people feel more. People experience pain more. I don't know what the case may be.
Yeah. I think it's important that people have the avenue to be able to cope with things that happen in their lives. And have the ability. I think any employment, you know, in place you work for should be able to give you that opportunity to be able to get over those things in a healthy way.
So that's just an example of one reason that the league's changing, the players are changing. So with that mindset, now you could say things like, well, maybe they're not training as hard because they're, you know, their personality is, I've got my money, or
it's all secretive, so we have no idea.
Or is it in the instance of, say, let's say Heedle.
Yeah.
On the weekend.
Yeah.
Tom Wilson. Now, we can discuss a hit if you like. We don't necessarily have to.
I think we should, but quickly.
So, Wilson comes across, you know, makes the hit. He's out with his 19th concussion.
Yeah.
And now, that just Wilson ramped up because it's the beginning of the year trying to play hard? Is it because Wilson's a piece of crap? Like what is it?
So, you know? You know, we were talking in our group chat about this and that we should discuss this on the show. And I agree. I think it's important because to get a sort of a Canucks fan perspective of the hit. And I consider myself a bit of a logical fan because I'm not sitting here going like, you know, F that guy for doing what he's doing, being the player that he is, because he's going to be the player that he is no matter what. He tried hitting Connor Garland earlier in the game and Garland got out of the way. And Garland is 5'7" or something like that. You know what I mean? Like he's not a big guy. So for Heedle, a lot of that is Heedle's fault. Like Heedle makes the pass, but he kind of watches it as it goes rather than looks to see him coming.
It's coming, yeah.
And he hits him. It's a clean hit, perfectly clean hit. And any Canuck fan who sits here and says it's a dirty hit doesn't know how hockey hits work, because that's a clean hit. He hit him in the chest. He didn't hit him in the shoulders. He didn't hit him in the head. He didn't use his shoulder to hit him in the head. Anything like that. Anything like that. The only argument I have, and this is where you and I kind of differ in this, is I think it was a bit late. And the reason why I say it was a bit late is because after he passes the puck, he takes two strides. He takes two strides with his skates. And that's long enough for it to be what I consider enough time. And that argument has been stated on, you know, talk radio, on podcasts, you name it. That's an argument that I think a lot of people say that could be an argument if for a penalty, if it were an argument. I'm not going to sit here and say that should have been a penalty, whatever. Like, I'm not going to sit here as a Canucks fan and be like, that should have been a penalty. It wasn't a penalty. The thing I'm disappointed in the most is the fact that Heedle's hurt again.
That's right. That's
the fact that we lost a player who brings something to the team. Yeah. And now there's a chance he may never play hockey again, right? We still don't know the results of any tests that he's had done or anything like that. No idea when we'll ever see Heedle play hockey again, if we'll ever see Heedle play hockey again. We also lost Jonathan Lekarimäki that game with a shoulder injury. We also lost Teddy Bluger that game, who just came back that game. Mm. So Teddy Bluger is one of our best defensive centermen. Mm-hmm. He's the fourth line center. Wins faceoffs, defensive zone faceoffs specifically, and, you know, is really good defensively with his stick and everything too. So the Canucks are really hurt right now, and it's a lot of it is just due to injury. And it was in one game. We lost three players in one game. So it's pretty crappy. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. Like we talk about, you know, the fact that the league is plagued with injury, but it is what it is.
Like you talk about players not sure coming back. We kind of right now look at Joseph Woll for the Leafs. There's nothing. There's radio silence when it comes to what's going on with him.
Again, personal matter.
Yeah, yep. Personal matter. And
personal matter.
And he's been gone for like what, a month?
Yeah. Longer than that, like two.
I think he played two training camp games, maybe one training camp game.
Didn't play anything in September. Hasn't played anything in October. Wow. Yeah. Now, I'm going to say something that probably is going to get critiqued by maybe some...
So controversy?
Controversy. Some fans out there.
Thank you for preparing us for controversy.
When it comes to, I guess, you know, mental health and personal matters and stuff like that, I'm for whatever you need to recover, for sure, mm-hmm. to a certain extent. I believe not that necessarily people are milking it or players are milking it, but I believe there has to be a middle ground. You can't, I think, take too much time. You still have a responsibility to the team, to the organization, whatever.
The tax paying ticket holders. Yeah. Season ticket.
You still have responsibility. That's the price you paid to become a professional athlete, to become a celebrity. So in my personal opinion, like I said, I'm fine with needing time to recover from things. At the same time, like we all go through stuff. We all have to persevere. I've lived with a quote that's been given to me by a family member for a long time, that pain does build character. Like, you know, if you can push through the pain and still follow through with your responsibility, you're given even that much more respect than if you're just willy-nilly. And I shouldn't say it that way, but if you're taking time, but you're almost taking too much time to deal with something, you know, you're going to keep going in the same loop dealing with that thing until you start overcoming it and start empowering yourself.
I think the argument is almost, it's not so much of you're not allowed to go on personal leave. Sure, you are allowed to go on personal leave. However, there has to be a point where the team itself doesn't leave the fans in the dark. Because the fans need to know, where's this guy that we're paying money to go and see play hockey? When are we ever going to see him again? You could even say estimated timeline, you know, and give us an update a couple weeks down the road. Hey, he's going to be another couple weeks. Yeah. Like that kind of stuff, rather than just nothing.
And like I said, I'm not even making that comment. I'm not pointing a finger even at Joe Wall for that. I'm just saying in general, like, you know, we see everything all the time. You got to persevere. You have to persevere.
Yeah.
Quick disclaimer for anybody who's watching who might be confused is that, just to reiterate, Paul isn't talking necessarily about Joe Wall being away for mental health reasons or anything like that, because nobody knows.
That's right.
They could have had anything go wrong in the family. Maybe he's battling his own health problem that's really severe.
Yeah.
We don't know anything, but I understand what you're saying.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's not like, excuse me, man, I'm having trouble. It's not like, you can take this with a grain of salt, but it's not like it's your call up fourth wing left winger.
Yeah.
Here, that's taking a leave for 2 months. This is your backup goaltender that could arguably be your starting goaltender.
Yep.
Like, now you have to start considering the things. Like, and I know everybody has to take care of themselves. I get that. I go through bouts of that headspace too, where it's like, you know, I just don't know if I got it today. I mean, I'm sure we all do, right?
Yep.
But at the same time, it's like, that's an entire team that, I don't want to say you're letting down, but you're distracting from, if that makes any sense, for lack of a better term. Like, you could potentially be a difference maker in your team, your entire team, in the standings, in the playoffs, in the, you know, personal goals for guys who, you know, have bonus structures. Yep. There's so much involved, right? So, yeah, I mean, if it comes out, and God forbid, if it comes out in a week or two that, you know, he's never allowed to play hockey again because of a heart condition or something, right? Like, nobody knows. Like, we're all going to sit here and be like, wow, damn.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, it's weird to not have any information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's, so there has to be reporters asking, right?
Well, every game.
True
Living.
And Berube won't say anything.
They just say no comment, or do they say like no updates?
Basically today, I think they were asking Berube about it, and he's like, Joe Wall is fine. That's all I got. When is he coming back to the team? Not sure. How's he doing? He's doing good.
And I guess kind of like what I'm saying is, you know, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. Take a moment, but don't take advantage.
Yeah, I agree. You know? I agree with that. Gentlemen, we have about 12 minutes left, so that doesn't give us a lot of time.
What?
I know, believe it or not. It doesn't give us a lot of time to get into this topic, but let's do it quickly. We want to talk a little bit about Halloween movies. Now, Halloween, just around the corner. By the time this podcast airs, it'll be, 4 days later, Halloween will be. So let's talk about some of our favorite Halloween movies. That could be anything. It could be horror movies. It could be, you know, literally Halloween-themed movies, because I've met a couple myself. What do you guys think? What are your kind of favorite Halloween movies?
I got lots of favorites. What I will say is that when we were in Whistler, our last night there, we knew we had to get up early. So we did a bit of a movie night/afternoon.
Yeah.
And we made, like, one of my favorite childhood meals of Kraft dinner and hot dogs. Actually, we upgraded it with Smokies.
Ooh,
nice. And
classy.
And we got like a can of Stag chili.
Oh, yeah.
And a jar of Tostitos queso. We made like chili cheese dogs. Oh my God. It was so good. It. Terrible that's for awesome. Me. Did you have a vegetable? No, I didn't. Shut up. Yeah. And I enjoyed every second of it.
Especially anyway, the macaroni.
The first movie we watched was The New Conjuring.
Cool. Nice.
And I mean, it was okay. It was,
yeah.
I've seen it all.
Yeah.
With these, you know, it's kind of the same thing. Then we watched Talk to Me, which Talk we had seen before. Have you guys seen Talk to Me?
I've heard of it.
It's an Australian horror film. It's actually really good. It's creepy. It's totally creepy. And then we watched the third movie we watched is scientifically the scariest movie ever made.
Okay.
And it's based on they've monitored people's heart rates while watching the movie, and it's garnered the highest average heart rate overall, and it's sinister.
Oh, with Ethan Hawke. Yeah.
So those were the three that we watched. Sinister is kind of always a classic of mine, just because no matter how many times I see it, I always get scared or I always jump in certain spots, yeah, you know, things like that. So those were the three that we watched. I mean, I've got hundreds of favorites, but that's what we watched. So
very cool. What about you?
I tend to lean on many different ways when it comes to Halloween movies, whether it's horror or, you know, it's kind of on the lighter side. Army of Darkness is one of my absolute favorite horror/comedy movies.
It's actually great, yeah.
Like Ash is just such a compelling character, and just, you know, the one-liners, the in that particular movie, just his I guess bantering with some of the old folk and stuff like that, because he's obviously from the future.
You know my friend Todd Jones, right?
Yeah.
Who works with Rogers TV. Todd Jones, shout out to Todd.
Shout out to Rogers TV.
Shout out to Rogers TV as well. Todd always tells me, because he's also a filmmaker and makes short films, and every time he makes one, I'm always in it, because he says I'm his Bruce Campbell.
Nice.
And he said, you're always my Bruce Campbell. You'll either star in or be in one of my movies, no matter when it is. And I appreciate that, and I love him for that. And I huge respect for Bruce Campbell, of course.
Yeah, he's awesome. Absolutely love him. Again, you look at a movie like Nightmare Before Christmas. I didn't like it necessarily as a kid. I love it now. I think it's actually
I didn't like it as a kid either, but I like it now too. It's so funny.
It catches you again going on the comedy side. Still, Trick or Treat is actually kind of a relatively good film, and it's got that comedy, but it's interesting to watch. Ghostbusters comedy, and again, it's got a bit of the scare factor in some aspects too.
I think I can appreciate the comedy, the scare comedy movies, a lot more than I can specific horror movies, because horror just for some reason horror always feels so unrealistic, whereas at least a scare comedy, you've got comedy to fall back on. So, you know, like I think of Hocus Pocus, for example, right? Like,
yeah.
That's a funny movie. Definitely. And like, you know, when I talk about my favorite Halloween movies, I think of when I was a kid and I would watch Halloween specials, right? Like Garfield Halloween special. Okay. I loved that show. I would watch it every year. You know, it's like one of those things. And for Christmas, I do the same thing with like the Garfield Christmas special, right? Like, I don't think I watch it much anymore, but when I was a kid, I would watch it every year. So it's one of those things. You know, and then another one for me was The Witches. I don't know if you remember that movie.
Witches. Yeah, that was because they did a remake with Anne Hathaway.
That's right.
But,
the original was really good.
Was in the original? Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. Did you ever see it, The Witches? Oh, Witches, it's based on a book.
Roald Dahl.
Yes, Roald Dahl. I was a big Roald Dahl fan as a kid, but that movie was really good too, and super fun. And Hocus Pocus, I think, was I don't know if that was a Roald Dahl book or anything, but
no, I remember
reading the book and watching the movie as well too. So I think we studied it in school or something like that. But those are kind of my big Halloween ones.
And if you go into like scary, like I can talk a little bit Supernatural, but I just recently watched the full Alien series with my wife, and she had never seen them before. She fell in love with them.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, these are awesome. Like, and she likes a bit of the jump factor, you know, a little bit of heart where she's like, oh, what happens here? And I'm like, I know the alien's going to jump out. I'm like, oh, just watch. And also, she's like, oh, you know,
I love that she's asking you what happens here. Nobody would ever do that, right?
Yeah.
And Don't tell me.
She always asks me. I'm like,
because she doesn't want to be scared.
The wrong person.
Yeah, yeah.
But even go outside of like sci-fi, if I'm looking at, you know, again, kind of like scare films. Pet Sematary was
I really
liked the original, actually a lot more than the remake. It again, the remakes were actually really, really good in that regards. And
incredible.
Yeah, Bill Skarsgård doing Pennywise wonderful. Was.
Did you see his like audition tape for it?
Yeah,
like the smile like was perfect. Oh, just so scary.
It reminds me the in Sinister. The deputy that Ethan Hawke kind of utilizes to help him get information on the investigation and stuff that he's basically, if you haven't seen it, he's trying to write a nonfiction book about murders. That like he's a crime writer. That's what he does, and sometimes he's helps solve cases and stuff like that. Right. Yeah. Anyway, so he gets a deputy to help him. The deputy, the guy that plays a deputy in that movie, is the same guy who plays. I don't know his name. In It, the guy that's allergic to everything.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember his name, too.
It starts with an N, I think. Nathan or Nate?
Something like that.
I'm butchering it. But anyway, but obviously the adult version, not the kid version. But
yeah,
and I had totally forgot about that until we just rewatched Sinister. I'm like, hey, I know that guy. Eddie.
That's hilarious.
Eddie is his name.
Way off.
Yeah, not even close.
Anyway. For me, like another one that I used to watch too was Casper, the one with Christina Ricci.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a huge crush on her when I was a kid. Yeah. And then also like loved the movie. I probably watched it 100 times, but it was also a Halloween movie. Like the show, the actual movie took place on Halloween or during Halloween. Mm-hmm. They had that Halloween party in their house when the ghosts appeared. So super fun.
I think you guys are gonna come over next on Halloween, and I mean I'm sure you and the kids will stop by. But
actually, I got a Clippers game on Halloween.
Oh, do you?
Faye will be out with the kids, as far as I know.
I think we're gonna have Beetlejuice on the TV.
Charlie actually talks about Charlie, my son, always talks about coming to your house for Halloween because he's like you guys are always out with your fire pit and everything, and so he's looking forward to stopping by. So you'll probably see him for sure.
We got rubber duckies to hand out.
That's
again.
Awesome. Yep. That's great.
Yep.
We still have, I think, the duckies you gave them last year.
Nice.
They use them in the bathtub, so.
Cool. Well, there'll be a couple more.
Yep, absolutely.
You ever seen, like, the foreign horror like films? Horror like, movies, you get The Ring like and
Nosferatu
stuff like that?
Or something?
Yeah, and then they're obviously remade. One that was an okay remake, but definitely the original was better. Did you ever see Let the Right One In?
Yes. Incredible.
Yeah.
Like, the original?
Yeah,
the original. Really good.
You hadn't seen it. It is the remake had Chloe Grace Moretz in it. She was in Kick-Ass. And she was good. I liked her in the remake. And that was Aja Butterfield? I can't remember who the kid was. like one of his breakout roles as well. But the original is just so much more intense. It's so much more creepy. The scary. Music is
the scene where ominous. the scene where they're like under the water.
Yeah.
And like all that stuff is happening over top. Oh,
yeah.
So good. I definitely recommend checking out. We are out of time, gentlemen. Unfortunately, we can't talk about any other movies. But I want to thank everybody for joining us for another episode of the Puck and Pod. Hopefully, you guys had a good time. And if you want to chime in on anything we discuss or you want to give us suggestions, reach out to us on our social media. We're available everywhere at the Puck and Pod. That's the Puck and Pod. And we'd love to hear from you. So reach out to us and... we'll see you guys on the next episode. Once again, for the Puck and Pod, my name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
We'll see you guys next time.